horse in the saddle.
Grabbed by Exceder to Bronfler, and Exceder's on the top line.
Chitaka's flying home. He's flying. They hit the line of photo.
And he's giving us the inside word on the best riders and the biggest races.
But I think this could be the Cox Plate winner.
He's the analyzer, Dwayne Dunn.
No, he's not afraid to make a big call. He's been on the money so far this spring carnival. He'd be sitting back smoking the pipe with Annabo's return last week, calling him the Cox Plate winner. What's he got in store for us today? It is the analyzer, Dwayne Dunn. How are you, Dwayne?
Very well, thank you. I don't have that big a prediction this week. That was a pretty big call.
And it was a nice soft win too.
Yeah, no, he's a serious horse. As I said, his pedigree says that he's a superstar and he's just living up to it now. And, yeah, it was well documented. There was a setback earlier in his campaign and no doubt he's got some nice upsides coming forward.
This race, the Rupert Clark, 1,400 metres around Caulfield, full field. What's it like to ride in, Dwayne?
Yeah, it's a tricky start, the 1,400 there. If you're drawn out wide, you're going up a hill and then that corner comes up rather quickly and it's got no camber on it. So if you're left out there, you're cast and it makes it very difficult. But this race seems to look like the main chances we've seen last time they met will all draw them well and be hard to beat again. Bohemoth, drawn really well. I think he improves off the back of that win the other day. No weight disadvantage. Probabil, nice barrier and barrier two. And Bo Rosso, what a great run it was. You could probably fairly say that it was unlucky and should have won. So those horses look to dominate this race. They got the right barriers and they should get the right runs in transit.
It looks that way. If you could pick your barriers, I'm sure a lot of connections would like those marbles in a big race around 1,400. But it could also be fraught with danger because Bo Rosso got held up a little bit from barrier one in the Memsie. Behemoth likes a bit of space. He's a big boy. He's drawn gate two and Probabil. You don't want to be back three back the fence. So for Craig Williams, Behemoth, Brett Prebble, Probabil and Linda Meach, who would become, I think, the first, I'm sure, would become the first Australian mum to win a Group 1. What a remarkable record that would be. What an amazing achievement on Bo Rosso. What will they be thinking the first couple of 100 metres?
Well, I just think this race map's good for them. I think the speed is all there with the Buffalo River. That it seems like they'll be a race of their own. I just think they all punch forward. They're just going to be in the right spot. There's no danger of that. You know, I don't think Streets of Avalon's quick enough to get across from wide to get in their road. Buffalo River from down low, punch forward as well. So I just, the race just looks perfect for these guys. I've got the right barrier. Usually someone draws the visitor's marble and gets the car park, but they've all drawn the right one. And, you know, it looks like their race to be the three of them fighting it out.
So if you could ride one of them, because it is a handicap, Behemoth's got 59. He's a big boy, so weight doesn't really affect him, but he does meet Bo Rosso 3.5 kilos worse. And then you've got Probabil, whose record is just phenomenal, especially second up. And she's a Group 1 winner of the Surround, the Epsom and the Futurity. If you could choose one of the top three guns, who would you want to be on?
But still sticking with Behemoth. I think he can, you know, the weight shouldn't bother him. He's big, he's strong, and you know, Craig should be able to park him right where he wants him. I think he's going to just improve off the back of that run the other day. I was surprised with Bo Rosso over that distance, how competitive he was, but it goes to show that he can compete over the 1,400 at this level. So, as you said, Probabil is just flies under the radar, this horse. Keeps winning, keeps knocking on the door, and doesn't get a big fanfare every time it turns up, but it just gets out there and gets the job done. So it's a big opportunity for these horses going forward. But you know, there's a couple of these riders in there that probably get the opportunity as well. You know, we haven't seen some of these, like a kid like Matthew Cartwright. What an exciting time for him. He's Irish Flame. It's not, you know, it's a roughie in the race, but he should get a good run in transit and he'll get the feel of a big league. And it's such huge opportunities for these guys when we haven't had the interstaters and that come, and it's good to see them get the opportunity. Harry Coffey, Azar is definitely a nice ride, and then T.O. Nugent, he's already had a Group 1 winner, but gets an opportunity in this race as well.
Yeah, it is good to see all these jockeys getting that opportunity. We had a chat to Matty Cartwright earlier in the week, and he was pumped, as you'd naturally expect. Do you remember your first Group 1 ride, Dwayne?
Yeah, I think it was in the Goodwood in Adelaide. Down in the weights, something had 49. So that what we aspire for, and it's unfortunate the crowds aren't there, because that makes a whole new ball game as well when you get that atmosphere coupled into the Group 1, and you really get a sense of how important these races are, and you don't win one by default. You've got to earn them, and you've got to be good enough. So it'll be great for him to go through the motions on Saturday, and then hopefully gets his opportunity on a really nice horse going forward.
If I'm Thunderstruck got into the field from that outside gate, what would Jai McNeil be doing?
Yeah, well, he's in the lap of the gods here, isn't he? He's got to look for trying to find the right one and just not be too doing too much work. He's just that's the car park draw. He has to probably go back, look to duck and weave. I'm not sure whether you actually miss the start here and flick straight across the back of him and just try and get up on rail and just keep poking through and just see what can transpire there, because all those inside barriers are the ones that are going to be in the race. So they're going to be either going to be still going at the 200, or they're going to be peeling on the home bend at some stage to open up gaps for you. So I'd be thinking he might just try and whip him behind and then try and sneak his way through the field from the 800-metre mark.
It's all just luck of the gods stuff with that. What's the mindset of a jockey when you're using that tactic? Is it just a sit and hope?
Yeah, well, you've got to hope that the breaks come, but you've got to think a lot more in the run, because you've got to start processing who's where and in the run and be looking 3, 4, 5 pairs in front of you and try and get an idea of how they're all travelling and see who you think was going to peel first that'll open up a hole for you to just sneak another spot forward. So even though you go back and you look like you're having a soft, quiet run, you're actually thinking a lot more and looking for horses in the run that you want to try and get on the back of to take you into the race at the right time.
SMS from a listener saying, I always thought Dwayne Dunn was the best Caulfield jockey. That was your favourite track. You've already said that, Dwayne, as well, haven't you? And a jockey, that's from James and Morty, a jockey like Brett Preble, who is just so airborne at the moment. He's won the first two Group 1s of the Spring Carnival. How much of an impact does that have on you when you're flying and everything you're touching is turning to gold?
Yeah, massive. That's a huge advantage. And if you look at his rides last Saturday, even though if they didn't win, he was giving him the right runs in transit, and they presented runs second and third. So he's hitting the board not just with the winners, but the horses, everything he's riding is running true to their form or better than they have in previous runs. So that's a really good sign of a jockey that's got their timing right and he's just up and about. He's got confidence. He knows he's good enough to be there in the right time and have the right opportunities. And, his confidence will take him a long way.
Is there another jockey that's caught your eye in recent weeks when you're watching the races, thinking that they're just making the right decisions? They're in a really good zone at the moment.
Yeah, I like the way Fred Tursley's going about his business. You know, we sort of try to work out a race plan with Mr. Mozart the other day, and it come off to fruition. And just I like the way he stamped the race yesterday at Bendigo, $1.20 chance. It's always a lot of pressure, but he just grabbed the race by the scruff of the neck and controlled it and made his own. I think he's in a really good frame of mind. He just needs the right horse underneath him and can get it right. There is probably a couple of jockeys out there that I reckon their timing's just not where they can be. They're just missing the mark a little bit, and they would like to be going better than they are. They're having opportunities. They've just got to make a little bit more of them.
What chance do you give Dice Roll from Gate 7 with Fred in the saddle?
Yeah, this horse is an interesting runner, being an import. Nick Ryan's done a fantastic job. I would say you'd be trying to head for a sort of top five, top six finish here, and then hopefully luck can take you a bit further in the race. I just think the others may control it. He mightn't be able to get into the, you know, open air running line quick enough to get his momentum up, but definitely a top five chance in this race.
The MRC Foundation is one of the other features. You've won this race, the Naturalism on Harlem, back in the day. It's a win and you're in to the Caulfield Cup. It looks a really competitive race as well. Charlie Rose has drawn a good gate to get a nice soft run. We've got Nonconformist, who finally, you would think, gets his chance from a good gate with Geordie Childs in the saddle as well. How do you see this race playing out?
Yeah, well, just to go back, Harlem won it, but obviously the records don't go back far enough to see that I won it with Skybow as well. 150
really?
Years ago. Yeah, so he won the Naturalism many, many years ago. This was sort of one of those qualifying events you needed to get into these races. Yeah, the old Skybow happened to do it. So, yeah, that was a pretty special time. But as you say, I think I really like Delphi here of Friedman's and Johnny Allen. I think drawn the right barrier. I thought run really well first up, will improve. Was out chasing No Effort, that just broke his heart a little bit with fitness. Gallant in defeat, I think, can improve off the back of that. I think he's going to be hard to beat. As you said, Nonconformist, drawn a good gate, two runs under his belt now, should be hitting peak fitness. Geordie Childs has a really good opportunity to ride a winner here. And as you say, Charlie Rose was outstanding the other day in a race I didn't think was going to be ideal, but she drawn another very good barrier. She had to be shut down late. Craig didn't have any clean air in the last 50 metres there behind No Effort. And she's come back really well, and no doubt they've got bigger aspirations for this horse, but it's just going in the right direction.
The Guineas Preludes are interesting because they're worth $300,000, but both the Colts and Geldings and the Fillies, they're probably a little bit down on class from where the major contenders would be because they're taking different paths. How do you see the Preludes on Saturday?
Yeah, totally agree. I don't see them as full of the ability of up-and-coming runners that we've seen. Most of these are exposed, probably not quite at that top level. In the TG Prelude, I thought Damien Oliver has a great chance here with Hirose. I think just being in a better quality of race looks very difficult to beat. I thought the one that could run well is Ancient Girl. Drawn a nice barrier. Thought it hasn't done too much wrong. The 1400 will suit with Johnny Allen. And Devout Hero is the other chance I gave with Damien Lane. Then we go on to the Ned's Caulfield's Guineas. I think Lightsaber gets his opportunity here. I think the 1400 is what he's been looking for. He's an on-speed, high-cruising horse. Peter Moody's bounced off that Group 1 win at Flemington, and the stable's up and about and going well. Alpine Eagle is an interesting runner. I think drawn well. Craig will know what he's doing, and this horse will be definitely in the race with a great chance as well.
It's going to be fascinating to see, but where do you sit with the three odds at the moment? If Animo comes to Melbourne, it almost looks, how do they beat him? And I'll be keen to get your thoughts going back to last weekend. What did you make of the run of Artorias?
I think Animo is just an absolute class above all these, and the Sydney three-year-olds probably have been year in, year out, but Artorias, I thought he loomed. He probably presented well. Luke Curry was trying to get him to get there and get the job done. I think that gave him an opportunity to have a think about it. I don't think he had his mind fully on the job, and I reckon he still looked a bit showy in the yard to me. He looked like he could have been tightened down a little bit more. So he's been punched up there, but I expect him to bounce back. I'm sure they're going into a Guineas that they will pour the work into him and screw him down and make it the grand final. So I've still got a little bit to work with. He's not done and dusted yet.
There was some talk that maybe he was a bit too pretty, or just sat too long in Arturas because he looked like he was going to explode. Is that what you're talking about? That maybe instead of just sitting and waiting, he's a horse that you need to get into early?
Yeah, I don't know whether he has to get into him early, but what seems to happen with these horses, these colts especially, when you turn them on and you press the go button, you've got to keep going. I think sometimes once you start them up and then you want to just idle them for a bit, they seem to lose focus, and especially a big open track like Flemington, they can get lost a little bit. So I don't think he got his timing wrong. I just think that maybe if he had gone and just put the race to bed, claimed the lead a bit earlier, maybe he gets the job done and everyone's talking about him. So I just think sometimes these colts, they do have a thing. You've got to actually be on top of them and make them focused and really savage the line. And I just thought he probably had two or three strides where he could have a think about it. And then the challenge was there. And although he wound it back and got really close, he just didn't put them to bed.
George Main's a feature in Sydney, but there's no doubt the most anticipated race is going to be the shorts. You made some interesting comments about Nature Strip that despite his win, you're maybe a little bit concerned with how he looked this time in. What do you think about him on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I thought that race was ideal for him. He didn't have the opposition. As I made comment, I just feel that there was maybe an issue with him with his back or his hocks. He just come out a bit sticky, which he can do. If he does that on Saturday, then Eduardo as well, sending forward. I think this race really, really sets up for the Gordon Richards horse, G-Trust. I think this is first up record's really good. He should get the ideal run just in behind those two speed. And I think he can be the giant killer here. I think he can be the blowout horse and get over the top of him.
He was pretty confident when we spoke to him a little earlier. And obviously, the George Main. Is it Very Elegant to lose? How would you be riding Very Elegant on Saturday? Is the inside gate a little sticky? Is she going to be the hunted?
I think so. I think I can't really go against her. I think she wins this race, but I think it's a real competition. I don't think it's a walk in the park by no means. And J-Mac will need to bring his A-game here and get on top and be in the right spot at the right times. This is not a give-me race. There's plenty of opposition, and he'll need to be really focused to make the right moves at the right time. Otherwise, this horse can get beat, but she should be just winning this and then going on to bigger and better things.
Always great to get the analyser's thoughts on the major races on Saturday. Leave us with your one thought, your one prognostication for the weekend.
Gitra. So Gitra's my horse. Sorry there's no Melbourne Cup Cox Plates this week, but Gitra will be the giant killer.
We'll take $12 every day of the week, Dwayne. Good to chat.
No worries. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Michael.
Dwayne Dunn, RSN Spring Carnival Analyzer. Quick break. More to come after this.